So I thought it would be really fun and insightful if we could discover today in this short course on angels what angels are really like. Because angels do exist. Look at the scripture. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels." Of course, the question is, what are angels really like? When I was a boy, my father used to jokingly call my mother an angel. He said she was beautiful. And she was always up in the air, and she never had an earthly thing to wear, and she was always harping. And I hope it was just a joke, but my mother certainly was beautiful inside and out. But artists have come along and suggested to us what angels are like, and they have drawn for us all kinds of little angels and big angels and feminine angels and cute angels and Valentines. We have all kinds of angels, and so even to this day, we have artist conceptions of what angels are like. But if we're really going to discover what angels are like and what their real characteristics are, we have to go to the scriptures, because that's where we discover nothing but the truth. So today it's the truth about angels. Write fast, get writer's cramp if you have to. We're going to cover a lot of things about angels. First of all, the scriptures teach that angels are strong. Look to the scripture. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel," look at now, "that excel in strength." By the way, scriptures always represent angels as having male attributes, never female. And so they are, first of all, they are strong. Then secondly, we discover that angels are obedient. The same verse says this, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength." Now look at this. "And that do his commandments." They do the will of God. There are several places in earth, in scriptures rather, where we discover this delightful truth. When Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to say, "Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven," in the heavens. The will of God is presently being done in the rest of the universe, as far as we can see from Scripture. Well, angels do the commandments. They do the will of God. They're obedient to God. And then thirdly, angels are not only obedient, but they are what we call doers of the word. "Bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments." Now watch this. "And that hearken unto the voice of his word." They go by the word. They do what the word says. In fact, the next verse says, "Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." So angels are strong, angels are obedient, and angels are doers of the word of God. And then we discover that angels are intelligent. Look at the scripture. "My Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth." So they are wise, like, this was a comparison with an angel who is wise. And then we discover that angels are meek. Angels, which are greater in power, are under God's control. Well, that's what meekness is. Meekness is having my strength under God's control. It's not enough to be strong, because strength can be destructive, you see. And angels have strength, but that strength is under God's control. That's what meekness is. It's the opposite to self-assertiveness. They have power, like a fire is a powerful thing, but if it doesn't have control, it's a very dangerous thing. So meekness is having strength under control. Look at the scripture. Angels are greater in power and might. They are great in power and might, but watch this. They did not bring an accusation. They had the power to accuse, but they didn't before the Lord. They have the ability to act, but they don't exercise it. They use their strength in a controlled manner. That is what meekness is all about. And then we've discovered that angels are joyful. They respond with joy. They are celebrators. Angels attend worship services. They love. By the way, worship is not kind of a grunting and groaning and moaning session. That's not worship. Scripture teaches us that we are to make a joyful sound unto the Lord, and it should be noisy. And so angels are joyful. Let's look at the scripture that proves this. Likewise, in Luke it says, I say unto you, there is joy in the, look at this, joy in the presence of the angels of God every time a sinner repents. Heaven breaks out. Angels are part of that big celebration. Wow, somebody else has become one of us. They're going to live forever with our God and participate with us in the big plans He has. They celebrate. They are joyful. And then angels are modest. Nowhere in the scripture do we find that they are naked or that they have clothing that is immodest or revealing. And in fact, it's a mischaracterization of angels when we have artists who paint them otherwise. But the scriptures teach that they are modest because they are holy. And modesty is a part of holiness. And this scripture refers to women. Look at it. For this cause, a woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. In other words, she's to have a veil, a covering on her head because of the angels. Actually, the meaning of this is that angels don't look on rebellious women. And the veil was used in those days to show their modesty and their submission to their husbands. And then angels are holy. Scripture says that when Jesus comes, He's going to come with the glory of His Father. And look at this. He's going to come with His angels and with His holy angels. Angels are free, it seems, to carry out strategic missions in the universe under the directions of God, whom they obey and whose pleasure they do. But they have that freedom because they are holy. It's interesting that science fiction movies today always depict war, galaxy pitted against galaxy, and all kinds of projections into the universe of unholy, violent events. The fact is that angels are holy, and they're the ones throughout the universe, very organized and structured angels and archangels and seraphims and cherubims, and they are holy. And then the scripture says that they are immortal. Angels do not die. Look at the scripture. It's referring to us, actually. Neither can we die anymore, for they are equal to the angels. So we're going to be equal to the angels in terms of immortality. Never dying. When we leave here, we will be, in the sense that we will be immortal, we will be like the angels. And then, number 10, angels have great power. They are great in power. In the book of Revelation, here's what it says, and after these things, I saw an angel come down from heaven, look at now, and he has great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So angels are powerful. And then angels do not need rest. In Revelation it says, they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. You know, sometimes because we experience weariness here, we think that how could the angels worship so much and for such long periods of time, not even stopping at night, but doing it day and night, they worship the Lord. It's because they don't need rest like we do. And we'll probably find out in a few moments we're going to become somewhat like them. And then angels eat food. We talked today about angels' food, and there are cakes that you buy called angel food. But the scripture actually says that men did eat angels' food in Psalm 78:25. I doubt that it resembles the angel food that we sell in our stores. I don't know. Maybe it does. But it's evident that angels do eat and always will. And then angels can be either visible or invisible. They have their choice. Let's look at two illustrations of scripture where angels appeared. And this one is at the tomb where Jesus was risen. And look at this. He saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus, they were visible. These angels, you could actually see them. But in other places, angels are invisible. Here's a scripture. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, look at this. I didn't even know that you were standing there and that you were against me. I didn't know you were there. So angels can be visible or they can be invisible. And then angels travel fast. Maybe that's the reason why the artists always depict angels with wings. I'm not sure. But they can travel fast. Scripture says, I beheld an angel flying through the midst of heaven. So maybe that's where the idea of wings came from. Probably I should stop here for a moment, though, and help us to understand that angels cover phenomenal distances in short periods of time. And in fact, from heaven to earth, I don't know how many light years it is. It's a long way, many, many light years. They can do it instantly. They are able to fly faster than the speed of light and can appear probably at the speed of thought. They travel really fast. And then angels speak different languages. And it's the most famous chapter in the Bible, I think, is Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And angels have languages. They probably also know the languages of mankind as well. Then we understand from the scriptures that angels ascend and descend. That is, they go up and they come down from heaven. Here's the scripture. Verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. They come and go from heaven. Like I said, they can really move quickly. The Bible tells us that we shall be able to do that one day as well. And in another time of teaching, I'm going to share with you exactly from the scripture the kinds of bodies that we will have after we leave here. You see, the glory of the celestial is one, but the glory of the terrestrial is another. And once we leave here, we become immortal like the angels, and we're going to have bodies like angels and like the Lord Jesus himself did after his resurrection, a glorified body, and we'll have the ability to ascend and descend from heaven as well. And then angels are guardians. They stand guard, and they stood guard, for example, at the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve were expelled. And in Revelation, it says there was a great wall. And here's a wonderful subject that I can hardly wait till we spend time on, and that is heaven. It's a wonderful place. But angels guard the gates of heaven. And there are 12 gates, by the way. Three on the north, three on the south, three on the east, and three on the west. 12 gates to the city, the songwriter said. And the book of Revelation tells us that there are 12 gates right here. And there are 12 gates, and at the gates there were 12 angels. Now, maybe the folklore about Peter being at the gate actually grows out of this. I don't know that it's Peter that will be at the gate, but I do know that there were 12 gates, and there are 12 angels, and they are controlling that headquarters city. By the way, that's what heaven is. Heaven is the headquarters city of the universe, from which we will come and go, ascend and descend, even as the angels do. Headquarters. And angels guard that headquarters city. We haven't talked too much about it, but let's do it in this next point, because angels actually wage war. Because you see, there was one group of angels, and they divided, I don't know how many centuries ago or how long ago it was, but Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, was once an angel, a good guy, a good angel. But he said, I will ascend into heaven, I will be like the Most High God, and he wanted to take over, be equal with God or better, exalted himself, and Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, he saw Satan get kicked out of heaven faster than the speed of light. And it was a war that took place, and there was a division, good angels and bad angels. Those bad angels we now refer to as demons or evil spirits. They are fallen angels. They no longer have, according to Peter, their first estate, but they left that, and they became part of a rebellious movement. And their eternal choice was fixed at that point. They always will be bad. And by the way, here on planet Earth, after some of the angels got here, some of them got involved in sensual and sexual intercourse with women, daughters of men, and God would not allow that happen. That's where the giants came from in the Old Testament. You can read about it. And God would not have this. So those angels were thrown into confinement and restriction. They are imprisoned. So not all bad angels and or evil spirits are bound. Some are still loose, but those who wanted to go and do sexual things with human beings, they are bound until the day of judgment. So they wage war. These angels fight. And they fought against the dragon, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And look at, and his angels were cast out with him, and they became what we now know as fallen angels or evil spirits. And then angels minister to the saints of God. Now, this ought to be really encouraging to you. Here's what it says in Hebrews. Referring to the angels, are they not all ministering spirits? And they are sent forth by God for them that shall be the heirs of salvation. That's you and I. So they are under the orders of God here to help the saints of God. In fact, a good illustration of that is in this verse in Matthew 4:4, where it says the devil left the Lord, and then angels came and ministered unto him. And then angels help individuals. Scripture says, take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones, referring to children. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I don't know how long a child has an angel assigned to him. Maybe all the life, I don't know. But certainly when they are young, there are angels assigned to them. And that's why the scripture comes and says, don't despise one of these little children, because if you do, you will offend their angels. I'd love to spend, let me take a few moments. Be careful how you treat children, because you not only offend the angels, but it's an offense to God. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better that a millstone should be hung about his neck and should be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones, my children. To offend children puts us at risk of the wrath of God. Be careful how you treat children, by your example, by your instruction, by your conduct. Don't offend children, because it would be a kinder thing if we should discover and put a rock around your neck and put you in the river, drown you. That would be a kinder act than to let you go on offending little children. So you offend their angels. And then angels worship and praise. In the book of Revelation, I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And they were with the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So there's a bunch of them. And look at what they're doing. They are saying with a loud voice. You see, worship is loud. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then we understand that angels also give strength during trials to people. When, here's an example with Jesus. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Remember, they go to and from heaven. Angels are commissioned from heaven. You don't get to commission angels. You may pray to God, and in answer to your prayer, he may commission an angel. But an angel appeared unto the Lord from heaven, and look at this, strengthening him. And there are times in your life where you will never know why you feel strong all of a sudden, able to meet something you didn't think you could meet. What's happening, perhaps, is an angel is helping you out. And then angels appear in dreams. We know we have lots of illustrations of this. Here's one about Joseph. And while he was thinking, look at this, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. He had this problem, pondering it for several days, and during his sleep at night, an angel appeared unto him in his dream. Angels have the ability to appear to people in their dreams. Now, there are four causes of dreams, according to Scripture. One is overeating. One is a multitude of business. One is satanic imposition. But one of them is God speaks in dreams, too. And He uses angels to communicate to us sometimes in our dreams. Be careful and weigh the matters that you dream about. And then angels carry messages, whether in dreams or speaking to us. Look at this in Acts. The angel Lord spake unto Philip, saying, he actually gave him some instructions to carry out. And then angels protect saints. They give special protection. Look at this. To a certain group of saints. It's the saints that fear the Lord. Not all saints get protection, as you know. But those that have the fear of the Lord do. For Psalm 34 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, that is the Lord, and those angels deliver him. They protect the saints that have the fear of the Lord. And then angels accompany Christ. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, look at this now, with his angels. When he comes back, and aren't you glad? He died to save us. He rose again to prove it. He ever lives to guarantee it. And he's coming back again to demonstrate it. And when he comes back to demonstrate it, he's going to come with his angels. 10,000 times, 10,000s and thousands. They shall go to the four corners of the earth, the Scripture says. And they shall gather together, all the saints, and they're going to sort things out when Jesus returns. What a great time we're looking forward to. And he will be accompanied by angels when he comes. And then angels escort the righteous dead. When a righteous or Christian, I'm not talking about a religious Christian, but somebody who's the real thing, dies, angels take us from here and take us to heaven. Angels escort the righteous dead. Look here. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried, look at this, carried by the angels. In this case, it was into Abraham's bosom because that was before the resurrection of Christ when he took all the righteous dead of the Old Testament back with him to heaven. Because when you die here, you see, instant death is instant heaven, instant glory for a Christian. Paul said it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so angels escort the dead, the righteous dead, to heaven. And then angels give warnings. Here it says in Revelation, a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice. And so here we have angels speaking a warning. It says, if anybody worships the beast or his image and takes the mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wrath of Almighty God. So angels are involved in warning. And then angels bring answers to prayer. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was praying for a solution. And look at what the Scripture says to Daniel. The angel said to Daniel, thy words were heard, and I am come because of your words. God heard your prayer, and I have come to bring the answer to your prayer. And then, of course, he explains to Daniel why it took him so long to get there. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But then Michael, another one of the angels, one of the chief angels, came and he helped me out. And so here I am with the answer. And by the way, that we had moments to contemplate that since Calvary, a new covenant in which answers to prayer are not held up by demons like they used to be. Isn't that good news? But angels bring answers to prayer. And then angels can appear when you are not aware that they're even there. They appear unawares. In Hebrews it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Sometimes the person you're looking at is an angel and you don't know it, so be careful if they're a stranger. Be careful how you treat strangers, because if they're behaving in a godly manner, it could be an angel. Obviously, if the stranger's behaving in an ungodly manner, it's not an angel. But be careful, because some of them are angels. You see, angels are very important, as you can tell from what we've learned today. But they are created beings and never to be worshipped. Right now, Scripture teaches that we are made lower than the angels. But there's coming a day when we leave here that we will be higher than the angels. We will judge angels. The difference between us and angels is that they have never had to be redeemed. The good angels have never fallen from their walk with God. We have. In fact, you know, when the Bible says that when the angels saw what Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son did on the cross, that they saw deeper into the heart of God than they had ever seen before. They knew what God was like, but when they saw God come here to redeem us, 1 Peter 1:12 says, they had to look into this matter further.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.